It's Marketplace Tech for Wednesday the 29th. I'm Ben Johnson. Yes, we have been talking in recent days about a piece of legislation called the Congressional Review Act, a resolution which rolls back a set of rules put in place by the Federal Communications Commission under President Obama. A lot of privacy advocates are worried about this. We want to talk about the impact it's going to have on you and me and all the other internet lovers out there. After it passed the House yesterday, we called Chris Calabrese, Vice President of Policy for the Center for Democracy and Technology. Chris, thanks for talking with us.
It's great to be here.
What kind of data do these companies already collect on the user?
Well, I mean, in addition to all the information that you'd expect your ISP to collect, like your name and address, they also collect all of your web surfing habits. And frequently, if the communications aren't encrypted, even the contents of some of your communications.
So how would this legislation change that?
Well, last year, the FCC passed really strong privacy rules that said that if an ISP wants to collect this information or use it for some other purpose besides providing you service, like selling it, for example, or using it for marketing, they have to get your consent first. And what this Congressional Review Act would do is sweep those regulations away.
I've seen the argument that along with sucking up all of your data and selling it to third-party companies without necessarily having to tell you more details, this legislation could potentially impact what you might see online as a user. Can you talk a little bit about that?
This type of data collection would allow them to have extremely granular information, for example, about where I'm located. I could use my mobile device to know that. And so I could get ads that are served. I could get coupons that are for a Starbucks as I walk by, all of which a consumer might like. But the reality is that we want the consumer to have the choice about how much information they're sharing and what's being done with it.
Assuming President Trump signs this bill, is there a possibility that, you know, it might get overturned in some other way or some other regulatory body might take this up?
I don't think that it will be overturned in some other way. So we will not have regulatory protections for your private information, either to give you control over it or obligations by and large for companies to keep it secure. Now, I don't think realistically that'll mean there'll be a sea change tomorrow, but there really will be no regulatory floor. And except for customers pushing back or public outcry, there will really be very little that an individual customer can do about that.
Chris Calabrese is the Vice President of Policy for the Center for Democracy and Technology. Chris, thank you very much for talking about this with us.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks.
On the topic of data collected and shared, Uber released a transparency report this week with details on its workforce, part of an effort to combat accusations that its corporate culture, massive startup though it may be, is sexist and lacks diversity of all kinds. Well, fair to say Uber continues to, well, not look great in the cold, receding winter light of 2017. It looks a fair amount like the larger tech industry. 85% of the company's technology jobs are held by men, half of the company's U.S. employees are white, 31% are Asian, 9% are black, and just 6% are Hispanic. The company has resisted delivering this kind of report in the past. CEO Travis Kalanick said in a statement that, quote, to make progress, it's important we measure what matters. That might mean something from a company that is all about the data. If you're Evan Spiegel's company looking at what Mark Zuckerberg's company did yesterday, you might feel like you just got a snap in the face. Okay, I won't wait for you to laugh, but you have to admit that the video and photo trading feature Facebook Stories, which is rolling out to Facebook's 1.6 billion users, feels a lot like a company it tried to buy a few years back. CNET's Lindsay Turrentine joins us to talk about this. Lindsay, what does Facebook Stories look like?
It looks like Snapchat. Well, it looks an awful lot like Snapchat. It's now integrated into the top of your Facebook feed in the main Facebook app on iOS and Android. There's sort of a list of your what Facebook thinks are your closest friends that show up. And you can either take a photo or a video and augment it or not. and send it to a direct set of those friends, or you can publish it to your Facebook feed. And you can get to that new feature just by swiping right from the Facebook app home screen.
Why is Facebook doing this?
Snapchat.
One word, Snapchat.
That's right. As we know, years ago, Facebook tried to buy Snapchat. Snapchat said, heck no. Snapchat went ahead and became extraordinarily successful. It's an incredibly popular app with people in the younger demographics, and Facebook needs those people badly, so it's playing catch up.
This kind of like Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook adopting features that are very similar to Snapchat thing has been going on for a long time, right? And I've been thinking about the proper analogy, and the only thing I can think of is like Android phone manufacturers making smartphones that look a lot like iPhones. Is there an analogy that works for this?
Well, you know, Facebook has actually come right out and said, Snapchat's really good at this. They've really pioneered this. We're learning from them. They've been very straightforward about the fact that they're picking this up and that it's a new way in which we as humans communicate with each other and expect to be able to communicate with each other, which is primarily through photo and video. You know, they're putting this at the top of the feed in the app. That's saying something pretty big about how important Facebook thinks this is.
Well, we'll have to see how it plays out. Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief at CNET. Lindsay, nice to chat.
Thanks, Ben.
Yes, we are on Facebook, but you can find me on Snapchat. I'm ZEE Brock Johnson. Snap you later. In real life, I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.